Hello, Internet. This is Ewan Spence and Yessie Insight calling. Have the museum elves went too far? Coming up in the show, of course there's a museum in Iceland, Junior Eurovision's magic number, and Mr. Lordy, as you've never seen him before. Yes, good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Welcome once more to another 7 days in the world of the Eurovision Song Contest. I'm Ewan Spence, myself and the team from ESC Insider here with our weekly news pod to keep you up to date with everything that is happening with the Song Contest. Of course, it's not until May next year for the main contest. Junior Eurovision is in December, but there's a chance to see a contest you've kind of never seen before. This weekend, the official YouTube channel will be debuting a new version of the Athens 2006 edition of the contest. That contest, so the EBU, along with many of its members, including RAI, BBC and ERT, tested out HD broadcast technology at a live event. This is, by the way, one of the great strengths of the Song Contest as a broadcast environment. It's nothing to do with the singing or the competitive elements, but it does give a test bed, an environment to try out things before you, I don't know, take them to Olympics or anything. Anyway, the HD broadcast to the public didn't happen until 2007, at least for the Song Contest. But in 2006, there was essentially a dummy run to see what was needed, if the cameras would work, how it would work. Basically, let's test this thing before we 100% commit to it. And that footage had just kind of lay on a shelf for a long time, but it's been found again. So it's been put together with there's a new edit of the show, and it's in HD with all the HD footage possible. Now, not every angle was covered by HD. There weren't any HD graphics. So there is a bit of patchwork in the print where sometimes an SD shot has to be used, but it's going to be a fascinating behind-the-scenes story, almost like a work print of Eurovision 2006. And behind-the-scenes, certainly it is, because the postcards aren't in HD either, so no postcards. You get to see the stage changes between the songs, something that you see live, but at home, it's always a nice little postcard of whatever. Not this weekend. Not for HD 2006. That's Saturday, 31st of July, 2100 Central Europe, 2000 UK, debut youtube.com/Eurovision, and no doubt available to watch again after the event. Pretty sure everybody's busy watching, broadcasting, or doing everything around the Olympics, because there's not much to go on the official news about the Song Contest. There's no new declarations. We're still at 22 countries who've publicly declared. Now, that actual number may well be much higher, with broadcasters saying to the EBU, yeah, of course we're in, but not seeing anything public. The BBC is likely a good example here. It's one of the big five. So, you know, that it's not publicly declared doesn't mean they're not going. Well, I could go down, will I go down through the list again? No, you can listen to it last week because we had it last week. It's still 22. What I did want to say, though, is because it's a big five country hosting this year, so that's one of United Kingdom, Spain, France, Germany, and Italy, we're not going to get a 26-song strong final. That right way around? Anyway, we'll only have 25, because in other years, the big five would get through, plus the host, six. 10 from each semi-final, 26. This year, big five, hosts already included, 10 from each final, 25 in total. That means whoever finished last in 2021 is guaranteed a better finish in 2022. United Kingdom. Neither do we have any news from Italy in terms of venues or hostings, bid books or anything like that going on there as well. Again, broadcasters are going to be focused on a much bigger event and there's going to be lots of focus in there. But no doubt there's lots of planning and paperwork and discussions going on in the very cities who would like to host. Let's check the date. Yep, as we broadcast this, it's 30th of July. So we've got a final listen to our July anagram. Remembering, that's three of the cities that are bidding to host the contest, scrambled together with all the letters to make an anagram. Give us a DM over at twitter.com/ESCInsight. We'll get prizes in the post for those of you with the right answer. Here we go. It's mystery voice time.
Fool a morning beer clinic. Fool a morning beer clinic.
So there you are, three whole cities in there. Pull them out and give us over a DM on Twitter. And just for you paying attention, this month the Mystery Voice was being played by ESC Insights' Samantha Ross. Curiously, though, we do have some news from Junior Eurovision over the last 7 days, which is taking place, as you all know, on December the 19th in Paris. Last week, we had 11 countries on the entry list, and we're hoping for one more to get us to 12, the sort of magic number, because you can't vote for yourself. You've got 10 scores, so you need one more country to make 12 to have a little bit of jeopardy. Well, this week, two more countries. That means we're one up on last year's 12 entries. We've got 13 in total. And let's see, we're still waiting on Albania. So 14 is well within reach, but we still have some way to go to get to the 19 entries that we had in the pre-pandemic 2019 contest. Still, plenty of time to go on. Two countries that did officially declare that they were joining in this week were Malta. They'll be hosting a national final with a split jury and televote in October at some point. Malta Junior Eurovision Song Contest, functional but wonderful name. So that's MJESC going on in there. Selected performers not yet announced. Let's see what happens with that one, but we're getting a national final there in October, so it's probably going to be the last national final of Junior Eurovision. Serbia also declared this week. Their submissions are now open for the song. It's going to stay open until September the 20th before an internal selection with an expert panel. A panel that has the right to go outside of the submitted songs if none of them are quite right for the not yet selected performer. As mentioned, Albania, we're still waiting for them, which they did say would happen at the end of June. We're early in August now, but that's okay. Plenty of time. What have we got in terms of the countries? I will read them off here because we're a nice and big list now. France, who are our hosts. Georgia, Germany, Ireland, Malta, who are joining us this week. Netherlands, North Macedonia, Poland, Portugal, Russia, Serbia, who are joining us. Spain and Ukraine. That's the filling out of the list. Okay, a couple of bits of news from around the countries as well. France, the host of last year's national final and the current commentary team for French television in Stéphanie Bern and Laurence Boccolini, will return to host this year's national final as well. Eurovision France, c'est vous qui décidez. No details yet on the date, but speculation inbound, French TV are putting on a big show for Junior Eurovision, as I said there, on December the 19th. Now, if we look back to 2014, Malta put on a great big show for the first time that they hosted Junior Eurovision. And in the weeks after that, they used the same stage for their national final. So I'm sure somewhere in French television, the discussion was had of what if we do these two events really close to each other and we can share the cost of building the stage between the two events. So maybe we'll get a national final around about December. Maybe this is just speculation and that discussion has been had and everybody said, no, we'll find out soon enough. Up in Iceland, following their featuring in Netflix's Fire Saga, a Eurovision museum is opening in Húsavík. It's the brainchild of Olgr Olgrsson, founder of Húsavík's Exploration Museum. Three halls are being planned based around the Icelandic national final song for Kevnin, the Netflix film itself and Húsavík's role in it, and then Eurovision across the continent. They're getting a lot of help. RUV, the broadcaster, EBU are helping, so that's going to be a lovely, spectacular piece. And when we all get to travel again, there's another Eurovision destination for everybody to put into their plans. Italy next, or as it's known this summer, Måneskin Watch. Their three songs still dominate the various Billboard charts, and they're all charting quite nicely in Billboard's global top 100. But the main list, the sort of primary list, the Billboard Hot 100, Megan has crashed in there. It's at number 35, so that's basically the chart of the charts. It's at number 3 in the global. It's at number 3 in the global, excluding US sales. And both of those still have I Want to Be Your Slave and Cita Bueno sitting in there as well. But Megan has given them the biggest hit possible in the US for a Eurovision act since... Well, certainly with the Eurovision song, yeah. I'm sure Celine Dion's done better with previous releases, but there you go. go. Finally, let's do Poland, I think, because this is a nice one that highlights the evolution of song. Rafa this year sung the song The Right for Poland in Rotterdam, but as with every song to Eurovision, and every song full stop, there is a history to it. In the case of The Ride, it's not Rafa's song. It was composed by a Swedish team, Joachim Arvenius, Thomas Carlson, Jan Mauritsson, and Carla Rubinson. And of course, when they do that, you know, you record a demo version, you send that around, see who picks it up, you get an artist like Rafa, and then you rework it to fit around the artist. Clara Rubinson has now taken the song and given it her own spin. So the writer's interpretation of The Ride has been released. It's up on YouTube, and it's a bit more smoky synth pop than you had with the male attitude we saw in Rotterdam. So, yes, there's an old Eurovision show this weekend, but it's not officially coming under the Eurovision Again banner quite like that. So we don't have a podcast ready for that, but we will be ready for the main Eurovision Again event in August when we look back at a previous contest and we can all gather around for a simulcast watch on the official YouTube channel. In terms of other podcasts out there, still raising a hat to Second Chair. If you're listening to us on the podcast radio, they'll be on Saturday night at, I believe the listening time is 8 p.m. If you're not listening to podcast radio, well, our news podcast features are along with countless other podcasts. Think of it like a talk radio station, but build around podcasts that you can get a sample of, get a taste of, download and find them yourselves and be introduced to new content. www.thepodcastradio.co.uk. If you're looking for other Eurovision media, though, what have we got in the recommendation spot this week? I thought I'd go for the covers spot that's on Radio International. Radio International itself, JP, puts on a huge radio show every week, but part of that is David Mann's Covers Spot, which is pretty much, as you can imagine, it's Eurovision songs in cover versions, points backwards to Clara's version of The Ride. He clips that out, and so you've got it as a little short standalone two or three songs every week. You can find it on Mixcloud under the Eurovision Norwich banner. We'll have a link back at our website as well. It's the Eurovision cover spot there from David Mann. In terms of dates, we've only got one date to add to the diary that we've had before, and that's the closing of submissions for Serbia's Junior Eurovision song, which is in September the 20th. And the one that, of course, looms up close by is September the 1st. Any song that is released before September the 1st or gets a commercial advantage before September the 1st is not eligible for Eurovision 2022. So September the 1st, dates after that. Wherever we're going in Italy, those songs are going to be potential entries. They still have to meet the other rules, 3 minutes long, and so on and so on. But there you go. We are still in the off-season, but the start of the season. You can just see it out there, a couple of weeks ahead in the distance. Until then, keep listening to Insight News Podcast and watching the website, ucinsight.com. We'll keep you up to date with everything in the world of the song contest. But for now, please, well, you're all out there. Do stay safe. Do be kind to each other. Keep washing your hands. Ta-ra for now. Cue the guitars. The ESC Insight News Podcast this week was hosted by Ewan Spence, written by Ewan Spence and Samantha Ross, and the team at www.escinsight.com.